It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 337, entitled AI All the Way Down. It was recorded on Monday, the 23rd of June, 2025. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I'll be joined today by three fabulous guests. The first one is my co-host, that's Michelle Frechette, but I'm also joined by Steve Burge and Jesse Friedman. We do spend a great deal of time talking about AI, and we manage to overlap it quite a lot with WordPress. So fear not, we do stick to the piece a little bit. But we also talk about the fact that AI seems to be taking a lot of jobs, especially in the creative film industry. We mention a Verge article, which Steve brings to bear, and it shows us a video which is truly remarkable and is perhaps something, if you're in the advertising industry, that you would need to be worried about. We spend quite a long time talking about other bits and pieces related to AI, and then we get onto more WordPressy things. So we talk about the release schedule for WordPress 6.8, the SQL Lite driver for WordPress, dropping security updates for versions 4.1 and 4.6 of WordPress, and then into some community news, the fact that there's a few events in person and online coming around the corner, and a whole bunch of other stuff as well. And it's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud, managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make $73 for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello there. Hi, Michelle. Hi, Steve. And hello, Jesse. Although Jesse's kind of lurking
in the background. He says he sees the countdown now.
He's here, so I'm gonna press the button.
There he is.
Jesse, apologies. The reason I didn't press the button earlier because we were in this like preamble music thing, and I had no idea what would happen if I.
No worries.
It might have killed.
I was looping him in.
All the thing. Anyway, here
Michelle's
we are.
My savior.
So we're at This Week in WordPress, episode number 337. As you can see, joined by some fabulous old timers to this show, if you like. We've got Michelle Frechette, the co-host. How are you doing, Michelle?
I am well, thank you. It's a little warm here today.
Yes.
But it's already 29 centigrade and 85 Fahrenheit and about to go up to 35, 95 today.
Yeah, so. We've had unusually season. We love to talk about the weather in the UK. Steve and I could do a whole 90 minutes just rabbiting on about the weather, but we won't. But we've had beautifully hot weather as well, although it's definitely turned back to normal British greyness. So anyway, let me do the proper introduction for Michelle. Michelle Frechette is the executive director at PostStatus. In addition to work at PostStatus, Michelle is the podcast barista at WP Coffee Talk, co-founder of Underrepresented in Tech, creator of WP Speakers and WP Career Pages. She is also an author, frequent organizer and speaker at WordPress events. She lives outside Rochester, New York, where she is an avid nature photographer. The one URL which kind of coalesces the whole lot is Meet Michelle Online. So if you go there, you'll be able to find out all the bits and pieces. Meet Michelle Online. And maybe, I don't know if we're going to show it later, she's also quite good on the TikTok, as I like to call it, because I'm not that cool. Maybe
not
we'll see.
TikTok.
We'll see.
When people in the South say they're going to the Walmart as opposed to just going to Walmart.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah. I deliberately do it to make my kids cringe.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing to do that.
TikTok, and they're like, "Oh, Dad,
I'm going on the Facebook."
Yeah, the Facebook. We're also joined by Steve Burge. He's right there. How you doing, Steve?
Hey guys. Hey, Mr. Wrigley.
Oh no, that makes me feel so old, Mr. Wrigley. It is. We'll go with that. Steve is the Published Press founder. That was the entire bio until a few moments ago, I think. But it's more fancy now. He's written something else. He's part of a team building WordPress publishing plugins with over 1 million users. They are our Published Press, MetaSlider, TaxoPress, and Logtivity. Good grief. Is that right? 1 million users combined. That's quite a lot. Well done. Well, gosh.
Well, we have a lot of plugins. They add up if you add up all the time.
No. Don't be so bashful. That is a ton. It doesn't matter which way you cut it. That's still a lot of people. Bravo, Steve. That's amazing. Which is the most popular?
In terms of installs, probably MetaSlider.
Okay, so you can go and check those out. So let me repeat them. Published Press, MetaSlider, TaxoPress, and Logtivity. And Steve's bringing loads of AI goodness today, so we're going to all have an argument and a bonfire about AI, no doubt. And also joined by Jesse Friedman for the first time. Hello, Jesse. I've never met you before, as far as I know. Nice to hang out.
Jesse and I go way back. How much for Jesse?
Yeah, that's nice. Thank you for joining.
That's really valuable. Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Pleasure. I'll read Jesse's bio, and it's quite a bio. The first few words alone, really impressive. He is the head of WP Cloud at Automattic. He says that's fine, but he's happy to add more to the bio if we want. I would like you to add to the bio. Just tell us what WP Cloud is, because honestly, we don't talk about it that much, and it wouldn't surprise me if quite a few people listening to this didn't really know too much about it. So quick elevator pitch of WP Cloud, if you don't mind.
Yeah, WP Cloud is a WordPress-first cloud platform built homegrown by Automattic from bare metal boxes that we created internally to service our own needs, powering some of the largest, fastest, most trafficked websites in the world. And so now we've made it available through hosting companies around. So you can get it via WordPress.com, Pressable, Bluehost Cloud, Convessio, Porkbun, InstaWP, the list goes on. It is a AWS Google Cloud alternative with a WordPress first focus.
So you literally bought the bare metal servers and then just got to work adapting the OS and things like that to your needs. And then you spin it out as a kind of white label, if you like, hosting solution to other hosting platforms. Gosh, that's fascinating.
Right. Yeah. And it has, because of its WordPress focus, it doesn't require us to compete on the focus that other cloud platforms have. So, a common thing that we talk about here is that AWS, Google Cloud, they have a lot going on. They work on, warehouse logistics, shipping, virtual reality, gaming, the list goes on, right? It's a very complex list of things that they're focused on. We are only doing WordPress. So we're able to put up guardrails that help us to automate scaling of your site, the caching and CDN deployment, full management stacks, tons of development tools. So it is, in a sense, can be completely white labeled, but at other times, hosts choose to say that it's powered by WP Cloud as well.
Okay.
And so, if you are running a website and you want the highest, fastest, highest standard that we're setting, you can go to those hosting companies. If you are a hosting company or a registrar, you can come to wp.cloud to learn more.
Can I ask, is your background, were you into all this stuff prior to your work at Automattic? Were you like some sort of hosting, forgive me, nerd before?
Actually,
you
no.
No, interesting.
Yeah, okay. So I started building websites as a side gig in high school. So I didn't want to have, I wanted to get out of bagging groceries and pumping gas. Those were early jobs I had. So I started, getting into web design, went to college for it, became a professor, had a couple of jobs working in web design, multimedia, did flash websites for years. Got into WordPress in like 2003-04 when a professor, Hillary Mason, suggested it to me. Never looked back. WordPress has been something that I have dedicated a large part of my career to, because it has given me so much, the community, everybody involved, we know this. We all know this. Who's worked in this? You go to a WordCamp and you say, I'm struggling with something. All of a sudden you have 50 people trying to eagerly help you, you know, grow, because the more people who are doing well in the community, the better the community does overall. And so then I wrote a couple books on WordPress. I co-founded a company called Brute Protect, which is a cloud-powered malicious script detector for brute force protection. And that got me into hosting. So I was working with hosting companies to install this plugin to help us to identify attack vectors across hosting companies. Previous to that, hosting companies siloed their information, so they didn't get to benefit from those attack vectors. That's where I really started working with hosting companies. We sold that company to Automattic. I've been at Automattic for 11 years. And I started in UX and user advocacy, moved into business, and then I've been working in hosting partnerships for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years now.
What a great resume. That's absolutely marvelous. Well, thank you for joining us. And now we know all about you. That's fabulous. So hopefully this will be the first time of many. I'll just go through the usual preamble, which I always do for this show, if that's all right. So the first thing to say is, if you're joining us live, please, please make use of the comments. There's really only two ways to do that. The best thing I can say is, if you're watching this on some platform that's not YouTube, probably the best thing to do is to go to wpbuilds.com/live. Over there, we've embedded the video and we've put YouTube comments next to it. And it really feels like that's where everybody comments from these days on this show. So head to there. The right-hand side, if you're on a desktop, of the video is YouTube comments. So you'll need to be logged into Google. If you don't like that, then you can just click the little black button at the top right hand of the video itself, and you don't need to be logged into anything. It's the platform that we use. They have a little widget which enables you to comment. So feel free to do that. That would be really nice. So wpbuilds.com/live if you want to do that. And a few people have done that already. So for example, Ryan, hello, from InstaWP. I really do need to click a setting in here so that that awful thing. Yeah, what did I say? Influence WP. Now there is a setting. Let me make that go away and see if I can get these settings. No, I don't know. They've moved things around a little bit. Comments. No, there we go. Let's see if that. Yeah, there we go. That's better. So good morning, Ryan. He says, from a super sunny and hot Charlotte in North Carolina. Tammy Lister's joining us from the UK. Good morning, she says. Marcus Binet, happy flipping Monday, everybody. Lovely. And then we've got Daveden. Hello, Daveden. He's in the UK as well. Well, at least he was last time I spoke to him.
He is still.
Michelle. We got something about the speed network in a moment, actually. So, you've got to add that to your bio. We'll discuss that in a minute, and then you can add it to your bio. Cameron is joining us, usually Australia. So I'm guessing that's where he is because he's saying good evening. And Elliot Sowersby, just down the road from me in sunny Bridlington. Hello everybody. So please make some comments if you've got anything that, I don't know, you disagree with or you've got an opinion on, as we discuss through the bits and pieces. Just drop it in there and it keeps the conversation keeps the conversation going, which is really nice. Self-promotional bit, this is us, wpbuilds.com. if you go to this website and put your email address into this field, we'll send you a couple of emails each week, one tomorrow which will parcel up what we're doing now, along with a bunch of other links about the WordPress news from the last week. And one which will come out on Thursday when we release a podcast episode, because we do that once a week as well. And this time around, it was... I thought, why not? I've knighted him on, even though the king has, he's not been involved in this conversation. I don't care. Sir Bob Don joins us and talks about his podcasting journey. So if you're into that, it was really interesting chatting about, we've got similarities, but we've got differences in our story. So come join us for that. The only other bit of self-promotional stuff, I suppose, is I did a podcast episode with two very, very bright, very, very cool people, Tom Wilmot and John Ang. They're both from Human Made, and they were at WordCamp Europe recently doing a talk, and I collared them for about 40 minutes, and we talked about a new project that they've launched with a global bank called Standard Chartered. And we get into all of the bits and pieces of how the heck do you do WordPress at that scale? I think they've got something like 83,000 employees, and it's literally millions and millions of hits every day. I don't know what it is per minute, but Jesse probably knows this pain. But to me, it's all new. You know, I'm happy with a couple of hundred a day, but not Standard Chartered. So it was a really interesting conversation. We break that all apart. So there we go. Okay. One of the things that we're going to do now in the show is if guests join us, so we've got three today, and they want to sort of demonstrate something or, you know, promo something, we're going to put that at the top of the show. Keep it quite short and sweet, but the idea is to get those things aired. It may be something they've brought or just something they found interesting.
It used to be at the end and we always ran out of time.
Yeah, that was Michelle's idea. We always ran out of time because I waffle on. So here we go. Let's embark on this and get through what we can. So this was on Marcus Bennett in the comments, was just referring to Speed Network Online. This is Michelle's. Tell us more, Michelle.
It is. Yeah. So I was talking with different people. Every Wednesday morning, I have an hour that I do open office hours. It's a little bit of a meetup type thing, but it's not structured. And afterwards, June was saying to me, I don't really know how to meet people to be able to work, you know, build my business. And I said, what about like speed networking? Well, how would that work? Just like speed dating, only networking. So we figured out a way to make it happen. We're going to do speed networking online every month. It's going to be at a little bit of a different time so that we can incorporate different, you know, parts of the world. It's probably never going to be at 3 a.m. So if you're on the other side of the world hoping it's in your afternoon, dream on. I love you. However, I love my sleep too. But speed networking. So it's 5-minute conversations with up to 15 different people, depending on how many people sign up. We only have 10 spots left for this Thursday. And at the end of it, you don't even have to write down people's information because at the end, we will be giving you the list of attendees and their contact information. And then that will be wiped clean for the next episode, so the next session. So
I'll just share the URL into the audio, but then I'll put this into the show notes that come out tomorrow. So it's Speed Network Online, speednetworkonline.com. So dead easy to remember. When's the first one then?
It's this Thursday at 1 p.m. New York time. There is a $20 fee just because we want to make sure that people have a little skin in the game so they actually show up and don't blow it off because they didn't have to pay for it. So
yeah, that seems sensible. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay, so yeah, good luck with that. That sounds amazing. So speednetworkonline.com, there's the first thing. And you must add it to your bio from now on, as Marcus suggested. And then the next one.
Mark has built the site for us. So this is, you know, having lost my job in February, within a couple days, Kinsta reached out to me and said, we'd like to sponsor some of your time. And they're sponsoring 5 hours a month of the work that I put into the open source project, WordPress. And so I thought, well, how can I get more people to sponsor me? And I don't like asking people for money. So what if I built in a database of people and just kind of slid myself into it, solve a problem for myself? And apparently 111 other people so far. We just launched this about, Marcus can correct me, I think 2 to 3 weeks ago. So it's fairly new. You can sign up. It's free. You can search the database. If you are a company who wants to sponsor people in the WordPress community, you don't have the bandwidth within your own team to put time into this, and you don't want to just write a check to the foundation, you can sponsor individuals within WordPress. If you click browse contributors real quick, and I know that we won't take a ton of time here, but it actually, Marcus is brilliant. My idea, he executed it beautifully. It will randomize every single time so that the same last, everybody with a name starting with A doesn't show up at the top every time. Click Tammy, for example. You can see Tammy's going to, there she is. And she's watching, so she can see how it works. So you see her website, you see her X, you see her on WordPress. You can see her, which team she's contributing to and her bio. If you want to talk to her, you can send her an email through the site. And we are using WS Form. We're using Turnstile with Cloudflare. So everything goes directly between you, the company, and the contributor. We are not taking money. We are not funneling money. I do not want that added to my taxes every year. So everything goes between you and the contributor. This is simply a directory and a way for businesses to reach out to sponsors and find people that they're interested in sponsoring.
That is such a cool idea. And I've got to say, Marcus, beautiful. Beautiful design.
And it grew not only out of my need, but also Marcus had added on the WP World a place where you could say, I'm interested in sponsorship, or you can sponsor me. And so this was like the perfect blend of what he was already doing and taking it a step further. And so he was the perfect person to partner up with on this.
Beautiful. Yeah, really.
Michelle,
nice.
Can I ask a quick question about that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered making it so that a company who wants to see some new feature of WordPress or wants to see contributions focused in a certain area because they need it for their business or something like that, be able to post what it is that they want someone to focus on and say that they're willing to sponsor this and then have it come into them via these contributors. So they could like essentially bid on, I would be able to do 10 hours of this for X dollars or something like that.
Good idea.
So that's a great idea. Marcus, take note because he's watching. But also I would worry a little bit that you sponsor somebody in the community for a specific feature that doesn't get picked up by the release squads. And so you may be putting money into something that will never see the light of day. What you can do when you browse the contributors is you can browse by work team, make team. So if you're interested in, you know, let's say you're interested in Gutenberg, you can see next to Tammy. So you can pick any of the teams and you want to focus on people who are working on Gutenberg. Now you can see who are the people working in any particular area. But I like the idea.
Maybe that could be solved by like a feature plugin. Like they do it as a plugin first. And if it does get rejected, then it can always just be released as the free plugin.
And I can't remember who it was, so forgive me if you're watching. But yesterday somebody posted in reply on LinkedIn that they have a project that provides lunch for independent people who are contributing, and could they put themselves in this? And I'm like, I don't have any reason why you shouldn't be able to. So you just wouldn't pick one of the make teams that you're contributing to. So there's all kinds of different ways it can be used. And we are looking to expand it and give, we're looking for our feedback. So that's a great feedback, Jesse. And I'm sure that Marcus has written it all down. And if not, I will remember tomorrow.
Can I just say that you see the power of WP Builds? You've added a contributor. One contributor has been added.
There you go. I wonder who it was.
I don't know. But there you go. You've not 10x, not even 1x, but you've 0.9x or something like that.
I'll be looking later to see who added themselves during the show.
There we go. So sponsor me, WP.com is the URL. What a great idea. Really, really neat. And I'm glad that we got a chance to surface that as well. So I'll bookmark that and put that into the show notes for tomorrow as well.
Appreciate it.
There you go. Reading it into the record. Sponsor me.
The next one is the one that you thought was hysterical
I don't even know what to say about this. This isn't the hysterical one. Or is it?
No, this isn't going to start. Well, I mean, you do have to, if you want people to hear it, you'll have to click the speaker on the right-hand side.
I don't think the audio will be consumed by this. The platform won't
I wasn't
consume.
Sure.
Do you want me to play it anyway, even though
You can, but we talk about it for a second if you people want to see. So we have launched WordPress.org, the free WordPress TikTok channel. We launched it a little more than a week before I left for WordCamp Europe. This is one of my contracts I have with Automatic, is I'm the TikTok person. And you can see on the right-hand side there, I did an ASMR video where I speak slowly to the microphone, things like WordPress, S-E-O, like just fun things, right? And we do a lot of really fun things. We're doing some TikTok trendy things. You will never see me dance on TikTok, so don't even get that in your head.
Come on.
We're having a lot of fun with it. This is I went live with through the vendor hall at WordCamp Europe. I also went live for the final Q&A with Matt. Unfortunately, I had not brought a tripod with me because I wasn't anticipating that. So I held my camera as steady as I could for an hour and 15 minutes.
You got the cramp in the arm.
I did.
Well, yeah, I'll bet. Marcus, by the way, has dropped in to say thank you. The idea has been noted, so that's good.
Thank you, Marcus.
And also Tammy, who obviously we were talking about. I apologize, Jesse. There's nothing we can do about that. It will obliterate your face every
time.
You can
stare at that if you want to be seen.
Yeah. Tammy says, or that someone would say that they can do that feature might not be able to do. Matching is ideal. Oh, I see. So excluding, not just including, but excluding as well. So cannot do Gutenberg or whatever it might be. Okay, so there you go, Marcus. Another thing to add into there. Right, great. So thank you, Michelle, for all of that good stuff. That's brilliant.
Lots of fun.
I'm just going to quickly raise this one as Tammy was on the call. Why not? AI is this. This, by the way, came from Steve. Steve's dropped in a bunch of AI stuff, but Tammy produced this 10 days ago now, so it's not brand new. But Steve, I think you were raising this one because you kind of felt, well, I'm reading between the lines a little bit. You didn't really know what the AI team was about, and now you do, kind of thing.
Tammy might be able to fill us in more on this, but I think they started, they thought it would be a good idea, and then afterwards started to hold meetings and put a plan together. So I think this was the first time I'd seen a kind of a public roadmap for what they were planning to do with the AI team.
Yeah, so this one came on the 13th of June. It's on make.wordpress.org, and it's called AI Chat Summary. So obviously summarizing what they talked about the day before. Usually these summaries are pretty short, but this one, I suppose, given the broad reach of AI, this one does go on. I don't mean it goes on and on. Like, what I mean is there's a lot of detail there, including, you know, subjects that they're planning to cover. I'll just read out the sort of bullet points, if you like. So foundational strategy and technical architecture, shared LLM abstraction layer, tool and resource registry and MCP integration, AI feature registration, cross-system integration, sustainable development and tech debt strategy, implementation focus, use cases, AI, you know, I could go on. And then open next steps to do as well. So if you're in the WordPress space and you're keen to follow on with the AI, I'm doing it again, then this probably is the place to go. Tammy Lister plus a whole load of other people. So Flixios, I think that's Pascal. No, Swiss Pity, he's Pascal Birchler. This is Felix Arntz. I don't know who these other people are. I could click the link. But I think this is a fabulous moniker, by the way. John Billion. What a great name that is. I don't know who that is, but there we go. So you can check that out. But that then, I think, sent Steve off in a bit of a in a bit of an AI tailspin, because quite a few of the next pieces are related to AI, not necessarily WordPress, but it's a fascinating subject. So we go here next, which is The Verge showing us a video, which doesn't sound all that remarkable until, well, Steve, you explain what the heck's going on.
Well, I didn't even intend to put a lot of AI stuff in the show notes. It wasn't as if I sat down and said, I'm going to make it more AI focused. Just afterwards, I looked back and my reading over the last week or so, the stuff that had been on my mind or just happened to be AI related. They had the big Cannes Festival down in the south of France last week, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And this dropped during it. And basically all these big advertising agencies are there spending millions of dollars on parties on the waterfront. And suddenly during the NBA finals in the US, one company posts this $2,000 video they generated with AI in 3 or 4 days. And I follow a few of the people that were there, kind of advertising related people. And at least a couple of them said it felt like a kind of a fall of Rome is what one of them commented, that it really felt like a kind of an end of an era for people who are in advertising, who were selling expensive advertising packages.
I watched this in equal measures horror and awe, because basically if you watch it, I'll link to this in the show notes. I'll put this article into the show notes, but it's a company called Kalshi, or certainly looks like that. I think they're a betting company who say that you can basically bet on anything. This video would have cost tens of millions of dollars to make, because you've got people on airplanes, you've got people, you know, doing jet skiing, the angles all look incredible. And then you realize that the entirety of it was done inside a AI, you know, generative AI solution. I don't know which one exactly, but I'm guessing it was something to do with Google, and cost a couple of thousand dollars. And I guess what I thought from that is, If you're in video making, advertising, video making, your job just disappeared in front of your eyes. I mean, that could be hyperbole. Maybe I'm overdoing it a little bit, but it does feel as if that video is so unbelievably credible that it feels like, how could you possibly go to any brand now and say, yeah, this ad campaign is going to cost you a few million dollars. We need to put a few actors. We've got this exciting idea involving aeroplanes and da-da-da-da-da-da. Will it be just, well, we'll do it via AI, thanks. We don't need the aeroplane anymore. We don't need the expensive this, that, and the other thing. So it definitely, if I was in that industry, I would be kind of worried. I don't know if that's where you went with it, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. That kind of the agency side of things at least seems to have the potential to get eaten up very quickly by AI. And I think there's room for humans in this still, particularly on the influencer space. Lots of people who have an audience who want to they can make advertising dollars through the videos they post, through their social channels. But the old-fashioned agency model of filming a 1 minute or 30-second video for a big brand, a lot of that work seems to be going away pretty quick. And I guess this year in particular, we're going to find out which business models are going to get eaten by AI and which ones are going to be safe. Because we were talking before that AI fails in quite a lot of areas. So some of us who are nervous might actually turn out to be safe because of AI. But I think advertising, particularly online video advertising, TV ads and so on, is one where
I would definitely encourage people AI to go and look at this one. So I'll just read out the name of the piece. So it's on The Verge. It's called "Here's the $2,000 Fully AI Generated Ad That Aired During the NBA Finals." Can you imagine they probably spent like 10,000 times more on the ad cost of the ad placement than they did on the actual ad itself? But it honestly, I am having more and more conversations and thoughts around the hollowing out of entire industries in a heartbeat. You know, I mean, people constantly talk about things like, you know, the comparisons between the Industrial Revolution and, you know, the all of the things that were taken over by machinery. I feel that all happened fairly slowly, and the building of the machines was probably a fairly labor-intensive thing in of itself. So those jobs sort of whittled away over probably many decades. This is like 8 minutes, you know. Some person just put together that video, and immediately every executive with a company is now thinking, well, we're not going to hire that agency anymore. So it does concern me. I've got to say, I'm less and less sanguine about it. Not from the point of view of how clever it is, because I can fully see how remarkably clever it is. It just worries me that there's going to be collateral damage, and people that I know and, you know, enjoy spending time with are going to be put through the anxiety of jobs disappearing and things like that. Anyway, there's my rant.
I think I hosted a panel at CloudFest on AI, and we went through a bunch of different ways in which AI is being used. One thing that came up that I've been really trying to push lately is this idea that I think as humans, we want things that are authentically human. And so if we leverage that, and we as creators really pull and push that into the community, I think that might actually really help, because then you can stand apart from AI. If there was some kind of badge or something like that that signified that the content that was created was authentically human, that might actually help to kind of alleviate some of the stuff. I also would think that we at Automattic, for example, we use AI very heavily right now, but we're not using it to replace jobs quite yet. I think that AI is acting a lot more like as if we had like a personal assistant or a chief of staff that could take ideas and run with them. It's making us more efficient, making us work faster, but I don't know that it's necessarily replacing. And I think Tammy actually mentioned this in the comments. I'm not sure that it's replacing creative jobs, at least yet. Maybe, something like this, I would imagine even that ad would still have required a great deal of thought and imagination behind it, even though they're not necessarily hiring a creative agency. Maybe they're doing it more internally, but then those individuals at those companies become just as valuable being able to translate that into AI. Maybe we're going to see that in a few years, but I'm not sure we're there yet. No. That we have to be super concerned.
I'm teaching a cyber security class this afternoon at the, as my mother calls it, the old folks home where she lives, because even she got scammed out of $250 last week by a fake McAfee email and had somebody on the phone. And I interrupted the call, not even realizing. I said, hang up now, call your bank. make sure that, because she even gave them some of her bank information. And part of that is they get you on the phone and now they've recorded your voice saying things like yes and that kind of thing. And they're going to be using AI to reproduce that to get access to your bank account and do all the things and answer your security questions. And so I think it has such, I am worried about how it can impact certain industries, but I'm even more worried about how AI is going to become a scammer's dream.
Yeah.
Through phone and email and videos of your grandchild saying, "Grandma, you have to send me the money or else," those kinds of things. And so I'm going to be talking about that too. Hopefully a room full of people later today to help them think about how not to get scammed.
Oh, good for you. That's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, I share all of the opinions. I think maybe I'm definitely a little bit more on the curmudgeonly side of things when it comes to all of this.
That's a shock.
Well, I mean, I'm just, yeah, thank you. Thank you. I need a badge that says curmudgeonly.
Yeah. That's Bud Krause's. That's my word for Bud Krause.
But honestly, it does genuinely worry me. So, you know, what you said there, Michelle, about creating video, AI is being used to deploy, to make it much more trivial, to make it so that you can extract bank details and so on and so forth. And I think also that video was so profoundly real. Like, that really was the video for me that for the first time I thought that is genuinely indistinguishable, because they didn't try to do something that couldn't be done. Everything in that video could have been done at great cost if you'd have put the actors in those environments, but they did it. And it just made me think, gosh, if we can all do this for relatively no money down, it's just that worry of flooding the landscape. So that then brings me to what Jesse said, this idea of, I don't know, watermarking content or something where you can categorically say, I am actual, you know, I am real. And I don't know how we do that. I don't know how we would determine that something truly is real, because obviously the AI would just watermark itself and say, oh, yeah, this is totally legit.
I'm real.
Yeah. But
I think there's going to be a need for something that's going to genuinely show that something is not made by AI. We can already do this. We can take content that was written and pump it back into AI and ask if it was realistically written by a human or how much of it was written by AI. I think there will probably be tools that exist, especially when you think about education. It's going to be incredibly important. Students are going to need to prove that they've written this content or their essays or genuinely created their own videos or whatever it might be, unless they're in an AI class. So I think there's going to be something that's going to exist that's going to add authenticity to this. And then so we just need to kind of, as creators, really champion the way in which we say publicly that this was authentically human.
It was kind of interesting. Go first, Michelle.
Yeah. Can we go back to the days where our teachers just worried that you were relying on Wikipedia too much?
Yeah.
When Cliff Notes was the biggest issue.
Exactly.
There was a thing in the British press. I can't remember which newspaper, but you know, an online newspaper that I read this weekend, and it was a teacher. And she didn't discuss where she was, but she was in the UK somewhere, nor did she discuss the age of the children involved. But she basically was describing this evening, this Sunday evening, where she spent marking prose, basically. So, you know, it was narrative. So it wasn't like a maths paper. It was an English paper. Let's go with that. And it was taking an hour or more to mark each paper. And she had the strong intuition that the majority of it was written by AI. So this demoralizing moment occurred where she thinks, this is taking me an hour, and it took the person that's handed it in 4 seconds. And like, what do you even do with that as a professional? It's not like you can go back to the kids and sort of like berate. Well, I suppose you could berate them for it, but there's no way of sort of proving that's definitely written by AI. So I think these concerns are just sort of mounting up for me, and my curmudgeonly side is growing and my sanguine side is shrinking slowly.
Well, the interesting thing to me, I think, is where we are at this point. We're, 2 years into this? Maybe 2 years since OpenAPI really went public. And I guess I've been on WP Builds a few times, and the chat is, there's normally a few people sending messages. We dropped in AI into the conversation here, and suddenly the chat has gone wild. Everyone has an opinion. We're at that point 2 years into this AI launch where it's almost the first thing on everyone's mind if they're in tech. it's almost impossible to escape from, that everyone is worried about it lapping at their business. WordPress just has an AI team out. We're just starting to come to grips with what it means for WordPress and how WordPress can respond. It's a really interesting moment right now.
I'm going to get myself a nice tinfoil hat and start a farming job. That's going to be my future, and erect barriers to anybody who's not actually real. Okay, let's go through some of those comments. I'll try to pick up on some of the ones which sort of seem to push the conversation a little bit. It triggers. So this, I presume, from Zach. Hello, Zach, is in response to the video itself. So it triggers my uncanny valley response. So I don't know if you know Zach, but Zach is a photographer. I don't know this is a fact, but I'm imagining that Zach also strays into film as well. So I'm kind of interested to know what you think about this, whether or not you've got, you know, concerns that those kind of things are going to hollow out that kind of work, which I know you do as well as your day job. Real-time streaming avatar. So basically influencers, educators, podcasters that are real-time, live, genuine, in a sense of playing a character and fulfilling a role, coming very soon. That feels more like a comment than a question. So sorry, Max, I've missed what that might have meant. AI is fun, says Daveden. But scary at the same time. Musicians, advert agencies, web designers, AI will take up lots of jobs. Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. I'm concerned that sentence is true. I hope it isn't, but maybe we can come up with some way of proving that we won. AI isn't going to take as many jobs as we think. We thought that about digital photography. Yeah, always the voice of reason. Thank you, Tammy. I pray that you are right. And just to get us out of AI for a minute, good morning. There we are. Thank goodness. That's great. Webologic says, I wonder how AI is affecting Hollywood. I guess AI will have replaced CGI. How long till I get an AI movie? Yeah, maybe. Maybe an AI movie will be totally watchable. I mean, there was no bit of me. Yeah, but there was no bit of me which was looking at Jurassic Park when it first came out. You know, that first sort of CGI type of film? There was no bit of me which was looking at that thinking, it's graphics. I'm not watching this. It's a computer made that. It's like, whoa, that's cool. You just suspend all of it, don't you? And say, I don't care, so long as it's entertaining. Like that video that we just watched that Steve gave to us. Jess Frick, hello, Jess. Long time no see. She's training my Wrigley AI GPT on this vodcast. Going to use it to launch a new show featuring British version of Max Headroom. Okay, keep it clean and I'll be very happy about that. AI is not creative. It provides an illusion of creativity. Yeah, my concern, I suppose, Zach, is that if it provides an illusion which is close enough to what we humans typically do, then it'll be indistinguishable. There's not many of us that are really, really, really tremendously creative. I think most of us, like me, you know, little moments of creativity, but most of my life isn't that creative. Take plugin devs, for example. Previously a dev tool all the time to create a plugin. Now people can vibe code it and on it goes. Yeah, you were right, Steve. Reese, hello, Reese. I can't remember where I read it, but I like the phrase "in the world of AI, slop be a crafty human."
In the world of AI, slop.
I put a comma in there.
Be a crafty human. Yeah.
In the world of AI, slop be a crafty human. I put the comma in the wrong place. Yeah, I agree. Do you know that's I think where I'm going to have to land with this is that. Mm-hmm. I think really I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to try and find people who are clearly human, probably initially because I know they've been producing stuff long before AI, and follow those people, you know, because I can trust that they are real.
One benefit of being old, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. If you're over 50, you got a chance. Can anybody tell me of a comment? Because there's about 15 more that I haven't yet read, and it's hard to talk and read at the same time. Is there any?
Yeah,
in there that...
I think it's mostly just continuing the same conversation. Okay. There are now jobs being offered or hired for AI specialists. How do you use ChatGPT, for example, and come to our company and show us and use it for us in a way that hasn't been used before. So it may be creating a new industry.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Steve, for bringing this one up. That video is so profound. It's so cool.
Yeah.
There's the Verge article once more. Right. So, and then there was stuff. Do you want to go into this one as well? Or do you want
to skip to the Axios one maybe? Because I think Jesse might have some insight on
this. This is fascinating. So I came across this actually coincidentally, you know, Steve did at the same time. So this is Cloudflare stepping in, trying to do the good fight. So do you want to just summarize it, Steve?
Yeah, basically Cloudflare have got some data together saying that the amount of scraping that AI companies does is growing exponentially, but the number of visitors they're sending is growing far more slowly. So they might be crawling your site 100 times for one visitor, but the rate things are going, in a few months they might be crawling your site 1,000 times for one visitor. And yeah, there we go. Those are the ratios. And actually, this is where I might have a question for Jesse about this. I saw Josh from Pantheon, who was posting similar figures for his platform. He was saying the same thing as Cloudflare, that the number of AI bots hitting the Pantheon websites was skyrocketing over the last few months. But the amount of traffic they were sending in order to justify that scraping was minimal. Basically, they're kind of breaking the, there was an old kind of unwritten agreement from Google that Google would scrape your site, take your data, and in return, reward you with a certain number of visits. That kind of unwritten rule has broken down now.
Yeah, I'm just going to summarize what we can see on the screen for those people who can't see on the screen. So essentially, what we had, you know, I mean, I think really it was getting close to one-to-one. Google would scrape and it would serve up visitors on a more or less, we scrape, we serve a visitor, this kind of one-to-one relationship. However, 6 months ago, I'll just talk about Google to start with, that was 6-to-1. So 6 scrapes to 1 that we will provide you with a visitor. Now it's 18-to-1. But then if you look in the AI sphere, OpenAI 6 months ago was 250-to-1, Anthropic 6,000-to-1. But now, again, this data, we'll trust that Axios is telling us the truth, I guess. OpenAI is 1,500-to-1 and Anthropic is 60,000-to-1. The message basically of this article is creators, you are no longer being rewarded for your endeavors by the institutions that you imagined were.
I would actually take a step back. If you go back to that number for a second there, the way I interpret this, I could be wrong, is what it's saying is that Google's crawling your pages more frequently than it is sending visitors to it. However, it does not necessarily say that the traffic to those pages is down. So what it's doing is it's saying that it's crawling more
visit
to the site.
Okay.
But you don't know if you're getting actually significantly higher traffic. You're just getting slammed with crawling bots. So something just to think about there, because it is something that we are seeing. You know, these AIs are, I think, very actively looking for valuable data in real time. And the problem that we start to see here is that I'm not an AI expert in this field, but what I see from my own personal use is that the individual conversations that you have with, like, OpenAI, for example, it is two separate things happening here. There's the AI being trained outside of the conversation that you're having, but every single independent conversation that you have, the information that it gathers does not maintain in a longer term memory. So every single time that you ask for something, it's going out and crawling over again, whereas Google will maintain a cache of the things that has crawled for X period of time.
Right.
So it is much more likely that AI is going to throw a lot more scraping traffic because it's not quite very good at maintaining that memory long term. But in my conversations with SEOs, we actually had one on the podcast recently. They did say that they felt that the AIs were sending more traffic to the actual sites than Google is these days, because the way in which Google is answering AI questions in the SERPs, it doesn't even require you to click through. Whereas the chat, I think there's still a little bit of mentality that maybe we don't trust the AI enough, so we always want to go see the source. And so maybe it is resulting in more traffic to the site. So I would just be, you know, the way in which I interpret those numbers is that it could still mean that there's significantly higher traffic.
It's actually,
you're also admitting your server is going to, you know, the cost of that to your host is going to be significantly higher.
Yeah, this is kind of why we can't have nice things, isn't it? Because we open them up to all people and then somebody comes along. And in the case of Anthropic, according to this, they'll quite happily go at it 60,000 times to give you a little bit of traffic in return. However, Cloudflare to the rescue. So the person involved in this article, the CEO, whose name is Matthew Prince, there he is, if you can see the video, he says, bottom line, he's optimistic. Cloudflare can stop this. He says, I go to war every single day with the Chinese government, the Russian government, the Iranians, the North Koreans, probably Americans, the Israelis, all of them, who are trying to hack into your customer sites. And you're telling me I can't stop some nerd with a C corporation in Palo Alto. I hope that that turns out to be true. I realize Cloudflare is powerful, but gosh, I think these other companies are also fairly powerful as well now.
So to bring this back to WordPress, I think, and maybe kind of what the WordPress AI team are working on or thinking about is how could WordPress be a kind of a database repository to serve data to AI tools, not just in an entirely voluntary way, but I've seen quite a few people, including this guy from Cloudflare, talk recently about some kind of microtransactions to charge AI companies when they come and scrape your sites. So say you have a WordPress site with all your data, you can look for a visitor from an AI bot, maybe they're trying to answer a query, and you can charge them a fraction of a cent for scraping the data and bringing the data back to their customer.
I'd be so happy for Anthropic to scrape me 60,000 times if they gave me a fraction of a cent. That'd be all right. That's a fairly good...
you would very quickly figure out how to not scrape your site very often.
They would. But that's a great idea, isn't it? If you sort of hobble them at the knees with a tiny, tiny transaction fee, that's an interesting... I just don't know how you would implement that, but what a novel idea that is.
That's the interesting time we're in, right? We're throwing up all these problems, but the solutions haven't really emerged yet.
Cameron is concerned. He thinks it's quite likely that this whole show has been AI right from the beginning. Can I just say that I have met Michelle in real life? I've met Steve in real life. Jesse, I'm not so sure. I think he might.
I have.
I'm not sure I believe you.
the camera's saying, what if Cameron has been AI this whole time?
Yeah, exactly. No, I've met him in real life as well.
He's much taller than I expected.
Yeah, he is. And Zach, no, it wasn't.
With
Zach.
Our virtual lives, I don't know that we'd know if we were replaced by AI right away.
It's true. It's totally true. The thing that Max was talking about that I didn't quite understand, he said, what I meant is that you looked at an AI video, like pre-recorded, so it's something that had already happened. But the next wave of AI might be trying to do things in real time. So, for example, a show like this, I guess, could be done by AI. And I would probably say that as a presenter of this show, it would do a better job. So there is a bright and sunny future.
You can go on vacation for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
The chatbot on your website could be you looking like you, giving like selling and pitching and answering questions. And it looks like you doing that.
Do you remember when you were
You've seen Hey Jen?
No, what's Hey Jen?
Hey Jen, you can upload a video of yourself talking, giving a script, and it turns your not only your voice but your physical appearance into an AI-generated character that you can feed scripts into. It's not going to be very hard for someone to tie that into a trained GPT or something like it to have real-time. Conversations so that you can replace yourself in a video chat.
This is coming up in the conversation just now, Jesse. This should have been the first thing you told us about.
No kidding. Yeah, right. Can I just say that?
Well, you know, I was late to the show and that might have been
about you not being real for many, many hours. My neighbors have got a very large machine of some kind operating very loudly. So if my audio goes berserk, no, it's stopped right at this moment, but I keep muting myself. If you can hear it, I apologize. It is me. It is my fault. Actually, it's not. It's my neighbor's fault. Why am I apologizing for that? Okay, so there we go. That was the Axios piece. However, sort of leaning into this, we're straying away from WordPress a little bit. This is kind of more of the same in effect, I think. This sort of idea idea that Google is not really your friend so much anymore? You know, it's not, you don't have that sort of partnership mode where we'll produce content, Google will surface it, visitors will come. So Google now have launched this, it's in labs, by the way. You have to go into labs in your Google account and switch it on. But they're going to start surfacing a kind of a confection of what the search result would have been as an audio. So a short little, I don't know, maybe less than a minute, something like that. So a summary of what the search result has been. Obviously, this will work really well if you've got a closed question and you just want an answer to that. A bit like you might chat to your, I don't know, your Alexa or Siri or whatever. But that's going to come at the top of your search results fairly soon, which again, I feel is kind of breaking the search engine promise a little bit. And it does seem like strange times for Google. Won't dwell on that one too much. But I will say that this one is kind of an interesting one because this is the antithesis of all that. I don't know if any of you had a chance to read this. This is Piccalilli. No, Piccalil.li. I'm not even going to try and spell that out for you because it's got too many double letters, but I'll put it into the show notes. This is supported by the Open Collective, which I think also has a connection with the WPCC. The WordPress Community Collective. And this is an organization which is trying to deliver non-profit websites for no fee. The idea is that you would kind of subscribe to this company, and then they will take on the job of producing websites which they have determined are underrepresented, if you like, the kind of websites which might not have been built because the fee structure would be too high. And so they're going to build them on our behalf. And I just thought, well, there you go. There are humans out there still. It's not all over, unless this page was made by an AI just to make me feel good, in which case... I give up. So I just thought that was an interesting counterpoint to all of that. I don't suppose anybody's got anything to add to that one.
Just to say that WPCC used to be housed on Open Collective and they no longer are. They're their own nonprofit now.
Okay, thank you. Like I say, I'll put the link into the show notes, but go and check it out. It's kind of like a nice philanthropic thing. It gave me the warm and fuzzies, so I thought that was worth mentioning. Okay, let us move to kind of definitely WordPressy things. We've got an hour in and we haven't really touched much on them.
We're only going to take a few minutes for those, remember?
I think it's okay, though. Once in a while, it's okay to stray off.
Absolutely. You know,
we normally are like WordPress all the way through, and today we've gone off a bit off piece, but that's fine. So here's the first one. WordPress 6.8.2 release schedule has been announced. What can I say? There's not a lot to say. The final release date should be the 15th of July, 2025. I don't actually know if this is something which has come back online since Automattic have decided to kind of go back to air quotes normal, or if this was something that would have happened anyway, because it's not a point.
It would have happened anyway.
Anyway. Okay, great.
Yep. It was always part of the planning.
Perfect. Okay, so get that one in your diary. Next version of WordPress 6.8.2 should be coming out in July, and I'll link to that in the show notes as well.
There was some talk of a 6.9 this year, I think.
There was, I think, much later in the year. Was it November something?
That is what has been heard now. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Does anybody have any clarity on that one? I'm still in the I don't know arena with that one. Yeah.
Okay. TBD, I think.
Yeah, TBD. Okay. This one is above my pay grade because I'm not clever enough, but I'll just put it out there. So this was Jan Jakes, I think would be how you pronounce this, 13th of June. Introduction to a new SQLite driver for WordPress. And I know that some of you are the definition of propeller heads who watch this podcast, and this is probably of great interest to you. So it goes into all of the bits and pieces, but I'm not clever enough. Steve, I know you are. Jesse, I know you are. Michelle, you may very well be as well, but I certainly am not, but I thought it was worth raising. Steve, Jesse, anything to that before we move on? That's a big fat no, in which case we will move right on.
See it though.
I got tagged by Jonathan DeRosiers this week, who wanted me to mention that WordPress security updates. I think there's this kind of thought in the WordPress community that security updates kind of just go backwards infinitely in time, and that WordPress supports every version going back to kind of like one. That is really not the case. You basically basically need to be on the latest version of WordPress to get all of the security guarantees. But certainly, support is dropping for version 4.1 to version 4.6. So that's a definitive black hole in your clients' websites from July 2025. I was actually surprised. I did read somewhere, I think it was from Jonathan, maybe, certainly somewhere, that really, if you're not on the latest release, then there is some, or rather, I'll say that the other way around, there is some definite benefit in terms of security for being on the latest release. So at the minute, 6.8.1, in July, 6.8.2. But certainly, if you're on 4.1 through 4.6 as of July, you are painting a target on your back, because no doubt the hackers have got a bunch of security things all figured out just for those moments.
Any of you guys hazard a guess as to when 4.1 came out?
Ooh. Should we go around the houses and see what everybody thinks? I'll start. 20. I want to say it begins with a 1. 2015. Michelle?
2011.
Ooh, okay.
Jesse?
Oh, man. I remember working on, what was it, 3.something in 2012. So I'm going to say 2014.
Okay, 11, 14, and me, 15. What is
December 2014. You guys are pretty good. Jesse
wins the prize. What does Jesse win?
Oh,
let's hear it.
Free version of 6.8.
Version 6.8.2. Actually, can I hijack that? Because I've got something weirdly that I want to demonstrate, and it's a prize. If you come to WPLDN this coming Thursday, we're giving away an iPad. So show up. And sorry, Jesse, you're not. I'm not giving you an iPad. But if anyone,
I know.
But I had a prize sitting on my desk, so I thought
that was a solid segue, though.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. So
I was going to say, Jesse got a VA this morning. His virtual assistant gave him the login for the show.
It'd be pretty sweet if my AI avatar showed up and won an iPad.
Yeah, that would be pretty. That would be the best use of an avatar. Go out on the internet, find every contest and win it, and let me know when you won it. So this is WPLDN. We do it every last Thursday of the month, and obviously this coming up is the last Thursday of the month. We've been doing this thing there called the Golden Ticket, which is pretty cool. Basically, you scan a QR code, and every month that you show up in person, you get an entry into the competition. Last year, we gave away a MacBook Air. And this coming Thursday, we're giving away the iPad. But you have to be in the room. So even if you were the person that showed up religiously over the last 5 months, if you don't show up this Thursday, then you can't win it. So come join us. We'll be there sort of from 6 o'clock onwards. And you know, go to WPLDN.UK and you can sign up to, if you just click the Get Your Tickets link just here, then you too could be the happy recipient. However, I've already filled up the tombola with the name Nathan Wrigley. Over 8,000 of those tickets have gone in. So there's a high chance that, no, I'm not actually going to do that. I am barred. But right, okay. Sorry, I think I hijacked the thread there. Where were we just at that moment? We were winning prizes. 2014.
So basically, WordPress has been providing security support going back 10, 11 years, maybe 12 by the time this gets dropped.
Yeah, so, I mean, nobody could really argue with that. I think it would be unnecessarily kind of all the folk in WordPress to support it right the way back. In fact, that is very, very, very much more generous than I imagine you would get on commercial solutions. I'm imagining that there would be, you know, a couple of years at best, and then open up your wallet because we've got a security fix that you need to pay for.
Just real quick, I think that speaks to the reason that why hosting companies need to take a responsibility around the versions of WordPress. I mean, I speak to hosting companies all the time. There's this propensity to think that their that them updating WordPress is going to challenge the loyalty to a customer and whether or not they'll churn. And so sometimes there's a reluctance to update WordPress. And I think that it's something that's really important to remember that you don't want to end up with, you know, dozens or hundreds of different versions of WordPress across your network. So
on was I right when I said that the latest and greatest version, so we're at 6.8 at the moment, does that have some sort of special status in terms of updates? Maybe you don't know that. I'm not entirely sure, but I definitely read somewhere that that was the, obviously it being the latest release, there was some special status that it got in terms of security and updates. So I can't remember what I read. So No,
I know that Matt, you know, always likes to point out how fast it gets downloaded. And a lot of that is, you know, hosting companies and auto updates, forcing updates on those sites, which is great. You know, WordPress does a very good job of taking care of sites during that update process. But you do end up with, you know, business and profits taking a precedent there sometimes. So it's important to think about.
Yeah. Okay. So there we go. I will again link to it in the show notes. So security updates for 4.1 through 4.6. Honestly, what the heck are you doing watching this show and being on version 4 point anything, frankly? You're not allowed. You're barred, says Cameron Jones. I'm barring them. Okay. So the next piece then is, this is just a shout out for WordCamp Europe. If you were in the room, you would have been there to figure out that Krakow, I want to say, is the next host for WordCamp Europe. It's Poland, basically. It's happening from the 4th to the 6th, and they are already, can you believe it? Like one WordCamp finishes, and then a year later, another one starts, and we're already on the call for organizers. So this is europe.wordcamp.org/2026, the numerals. Click on the call for organizers button. And if that's your bag, you could get involved. I don't suppose anybody's got anything they want to say around that. Nope. Okie doke. Just a little hat tip to the accessibility team. One of the jobs that they have got is to produce documentation, great documentation. But I guess a part of that job is not knowing exactly what people want. So you are definitely going to have to find this via the show notes because it's a Google Doc. And obviously, Google Doc URLs are just pseudo random noise. It's just a mass of nonsense. So anyway, this is the accessibility team just trying to figure out what it is that they should put into their handbook. What documentation do you need? And so they're basically asking only two questions. Well, three. What do you do for a living? Where do you live? And what are the bits and pieces that you think are missing? So it'll take you a moment or two to fill it out. But that work, very, very important. So anything on that one? Okie doke. Right. Okay. In which case, I'll nip to this. So, LoopConf. There's been a couple of these, hasn't there? These online events gone back to being in person. So, I don't think LoopConf was on. Maybe it was actually online for a bit. I'm not sure. But PressConf was just a little while ago over in the United States, and now we have one this side of the pond. So, this is a one-day event, I believe. It's happening on the 25th of September, 2025. It's a full day of conferences, you know, conference, the usual kind of speakers and presentations and what have you. And then also an evening. And I think all of it comes under the ticket price. At the minute, I think they launched the tickets like about an hour ago. And if you want to get one at the minute, it's £299 at ex VAT. So you'd have to pay another 20% on top of that if you're in the UK. But this was an event which was very, very popular back in the day. It's been in hiatus for many years, I think as many as sort of 5, 6, maybe more years. And it's back. It's happening right in the middle of London. Nice looking venue. They've obviously got a nice after party organized as well. And although it says here registration is not available, that's not true. You can now get them if you have joined the waitlist. So they're coming. They're £299 at the moment, but only 50 of them. So they might sell out quite quickly. Interestingly, they were much, much more expensive previously. So LoopConf have taken the idea that things are getting expensive, let's make it cheaper, which is quite a nice idea. Billing themselves as the premier event for developers and engineers who build with WordPress. So
they were in Salt Lake City before, which was an interesting trip. And then the last one I think they tried to hold was on the Atlantic side of Florida, in September, just when a hurricane was rolling into town. So I think they're taking a safer option this year with...
Yeah, we definitely don't have that. So I've just clicked on a link in an email so I can see... I'm not going to convert you. You've got to go and register on the website, presumably, to get that link. But yeah, they're available at the moment, £299. They're calling them the early bird tickets. So there's 50 of those, and then I guess they're just going to sort of slowly creep up. If you're interested in sponsoring that event, I don't know if this is an early bird price, but starts at £600, and it's a first-come, first-served thing. So yeah, real world. Back in the room. Don't know how many people are going to be allowed to attend, but I have a feeling it's around 200, so it'll be fairly exclusive. Anybody got anything else on that?
We do a published press podcast and had a bunch of publishers on, and a lot of them are talking about events lately as a really good revenue generator and also just a great community builder. That they have a magazine, they sometimes even a Substack newsletter, or they have a local newspaper, and a lot of that it's an okay business, but a lot of them are finding that in-person events are really taking off for them at the moment because people miss that connection. They want to get in a room with people who are interested in the same topic as them.
Yeah, and get away from the AI, you know. I'm not opening that one up again. okay, so, all right, so there we go. Thank you very much. Let's move on to, this one. I thought this one was absolutely fascinating. So I'm not a designer. I don't know that I've ever used Figma. In all honesty, I've probably seen it being used by a variety of other people, but my understanding is that if you are a designer, Figma is like almost the number one tool across the industry these days. And the guys at Fueled have created a plugin, and I don't really know what a Figma token is. I don't know that I need to know what one is, but essentially, if you're using Figma, I think in the past, being able to take something from Figma and turn it into something which might be, let's say, a WordPress theme or something like that might have been a little bit of a pain in the neck. Well, this plugin appears to take care of that. It will automate that process and create your sort of theme.json, that kind of thing, more or less by clicking a button. Again, I can't really speak to it because I'm not a designer or a developer, but I guess if you are one or both of those things, this might be really interesting. Fabian was on the podcast not that long ago, and he is the director of editorial engineering over at Fueled, and I think he's a core committer as well, so he obviously doesn't know what he knows what he's talking about. So those of you that are into Figma, this might be something
This is very cool. Figma, so those tokens basically act like variables. So as you're designing through Figma, you can say that a font color is this or a font size is that, and you say it is a variable. This, I believe, is just converting that into JSON so that you can pop it right into your styles, which is really great because as cool as Figma is, it also just came out with I think it's a closed source conversion tool to build a website. So now this is a way to kind of keep funneling Figma back into WordPress. And I think create a defensible position there to help, continue to make Figma into WordPress even better. So it's very cool that the people with Fueled did that.
Yeah, really nice. Tammy's joining us, who is both a developer and a designer. So the perfect person to talk about it. She, in response to me saying that Figma was kind of the de facto tool, Penpot. Which again, I've heard of, but never opened, I don't think. So Penpot is also one of the standard things now. I guess that's in response to him being a core committer. And Figma is closed source. Oh, okay. So there we go. Penpot is an open source alternative. Does that kind of tooling exist, Tammy? You know, are there things like what Fabian has built there over on the Penpot side of things? Because it feels like, obviously, the more those kind of things exist, the happier we all shall be. Okie dokie, let me get rid of, I've got rid of the wrong thing. There we go. Right, moving on quickly. GoDaddy and WP Rocket have joined forces. If you're a if you're a user of GoDaddy, you are now going to, I don't know if they install this as standard, I can't remember, but they are now going to be in collaboration with WP Rocket. And I think, if memory serves, I read this about, I don't know, 3 or 4 days ago. I think now this is going to be their SEO sort of, sorry, this optimization is going to be their weapon of choice. And I think you're now going to get that rolled in as part of your package. So I don't know if that's meaningful or not. But if you're a GoDaddy customer, perhaps it is. This I thought was really cool. And I don't use Grade Suite, not because I have any I have anything against them. I just never have used it. You know, you kind of get into your own little tools and use those over and over again. But I don't know why this wouldn't be multi-site, but this is something that they've come out with called Global Content. And the idea is that you can save content from one website and make it appear in other websites. So you change it in one website, and then it presumably syncs across all of those websites. I'm kind of wondering why you wouldn't just lean into something like multi-site for this, but maybe you just want it to be on a different, you know, an array of different, so one site on Pressable, one site on WP Cloud somewhere or other, one site on GoDaddy, whatever it may be, and it would all sync across.
Yeah, so when you think about something like a business that has affiliates, like a radio station company, right? They might have dozens or hundreds of radio stations. And the thing about multi-site is that while it's incredibly powerful for large networks of sites, it does run into an issue where if any one site is getting an increase of traffic, a substantial amount of traffic, the rest of the sites are taxed as well. And so a lot of times people choose to break apart sites. And so there is a thing happening, and we're actually working on it at WP Cloud as well, where we're trying to create the benefits of multi-site but still allow for siloed independent websites to benefit from their independent traffic and resources. So something like this would be incredibly powerful for, like, think about a higher education situation where they need to have a terms of service across every single website that they manage. And it's not in, even if it is in multi-site, like sourced content from a single site is not necessarily inherent to multi-site. So things like this can be incredibly powerful.
Yeah, there's a few companies in the WordPress space. So I'm thinking about companies like WP Manage Ninja. Oh, actually, Steve might be a perfect example as well, where they've got multiple kind of brands with completely different URLs. So on the Fluent side of things, you know, they've got Fluent Forms, they've got Fluent CRM, they've got Fluent this, Fluent that. There's lots and lots of different parts of that business. But there's probably bits and pieces of all of those separate .com websites that it would just absolutely make sense to just change once and it just sync across all of the different websites. And again, Steve, that might work for your, well, you mentioned four in your bio at the beginning, your four plugins. Is any of this kind of present, does it come across to you as a good idea, this, or is it just kind of like, well, I'll just go to the individual websites and update them normally?
Yeah, it absolutely makes sense as a possible solution. We've dug into this as a possible business model in the past and found it to be technically challenging. The last time we seriously dug into actually considering building a plugin that would do something like this, there was a plugin called WP Site Sync that was really very good, but they shut it down right around the same time that we were considering it.
Oh, no.
which kind of turned us off. They were saying they couldn't make it work. They said the technical challenges were too big, and maybe the market, or they found the market wasn't quite big enough for this. And then actually, you mentioned Fjord a few moments ago. Fjord is the new 10UP. And they have a plugin, I think, called Distributor, I want to say, that does something like this. So it's definitely something that's been floating around the WordPress world. It sounds like Jesse is in the weeds with this right now, has been exploring this. It's a great idea, but there's a lot of technical hurdles to make it work.
Yeah, I'm guessing that this is probably, and again, caveat emptor, I could have misunderstood it. I'm guessing this is going to work very well if you are using the Grade Suite of products across your entire network of websites.
That's a big help. If it's I think if you have it very closely sandboxed in terms of the content that you're working with this page builder and maybe this set of plugins, then you could probably put a pretty good package together. We I think ran into complications imagining how would you deal with Elementor, how would you deal with Beaver Builder, how would you deal with
right
all those different possibilities. But as Grade is working within a much more tightly confined sandbox, they may well be able to make it work and make it work quite well.
I think it's a really neat idea. Honestly, I can't quite imagine why it's never crossed my radar before. Like, I haven't seen the solutions that you mentioned there, Steve, the distributed or whatever it was that you
distributor, said, I think.
Distributor, yeah. But I'm surprised that nobody's tackled this successfully in the past. Perhaps they have. Perhaps there's a really credible solution out there that which we just haven't seen before. But Grade, they're taking the point of view that, you know, you've got this kind of capability to create consistent headers, footers, whatever it may be. And then you've got like this dashboard. Apologies if you can't see the screen, but essentially we're looking at a screenshot of what appears to be, you know, things like here's the header and the footer, and this is what it would look like. Sorry, not what it would look like, but here's the location of where it is, the site title and things. So you can manage it all in one place. And I'm kind of imagining almost like you'd set up a unique domain just for this install and then create your assets. It would have no consequence for me because I just don't have this kind of a setup. But I can imagine if, I don't know, you're a big university or something with loads of different departments and each of those departments is on a subdomain. This really seems like quite a cool idea. So, yeah, good luck with that. There you go. And.
You said that not to harp on this, but like it also seems that they offer the option for segments of a website, so just your footer or just the navigation, yeah, which actually becomes quite intriguing,
yeah,
when you have a network of sites.
You can check it out at grade. Well, grade is not straightforward to spell. You would probably put an E in it, but it's not. It's GREYD.io. So remove the E from the ED at the end of grade.io. And then it's called global-content. So grade.io/global-content. And you'll be able to see all about that. I guess if you're an existing customer, it's going to be a bit of a no-brainer to check it out. But, you know, maybe it's a kind of nice little thing to convert people. Speaking of Fluent, as I was a moment ago, they have a new product in the market, which I kind of feel they're pulling the trigger on something which is going to be really popular. Let's wait and see. But it's called Fluent Cart. And because it's not out yet and a few people have obviously got their hands on it, this, I just thought this was an interesting video. It's about 30 minutes long. It's on the WP Rhodes YouTube channel. And you can go and check it out and they sort of walk you through it. It kind of seems to be pitting itself. We talked about it a bit last week. Seems to be pitting itself against Shortcart. Not really in the marketing, at least anyway, aligning itself against WooCommerce. But that certainly would, sure they have their eyes on that target. But yeah, so you can go and check out exactly what that does, because a few people contacted me and said I can't actually access any information about it. So there you go. There's a video where you can check out all of the bits and pieces. Half an hour long. And whilst I'm on YouTube, I thought I'd raise another one. WP Tots, Paul Charlton, Paul C, released a video all about the upcoming Bricks 2.0. Again, not being a user of Bricks, I don't really know the ins and outs, but I know that it's now incredibly popular. And so as a result, people will obviously be dead keen to get their hands on this. And so Paul, in the space of like 7.5 minutes or something like that, just shows you all of the different bits and pieces that are in Bricks 2.0 that you might be interested in. I think we're going to finish early for once. We never finish early, but I think we've gone through all of the different bits and pieces.
In spite of the whole first hour being
about AI. I know. Yeah, it was definitely light on WordPress this week, but we managed to fill it up with AI, which was kind of nice. It's a topic which is not going away. This is no, it's just
Jesse gonna has a couple podcasts that I think he wanted to talk about too.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Please go for it, Jesse.
Well, if I wanted to give a shameless plug, it would be to Impressive Hosting. I don't know how to do this.
Yeah, it's not easy, that, is it? It's not easy.
Yeah, so I'm running a podcast. If you want to check it out, it's impressive.host. It's about uncovering the core tenets of great WordPress hosting. So we have a conversation about basically everything. but it's about the responsibility that hosting companies have to agencies and others to make sure they're providing a great WordPress experience. But I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I did want to talk about real quick, something that I think is really valuable to the entire WordPress ecosystem is Kevin Ohashi's work on Orderly Ape. You go to orderlyape.com.
Let me What is it? Orderly Ape, APE.com. I bet you all spelled that wrong.
Yep.
Nope. WPHostingBenchmarks.com. Is that where you wanted me to end up?
Yeah. So Orderly Ape is a side project that Kevin is working on. And so basically he's taken the K6 benchmarking toolset that got acquired by somebody, I forget exactly who, but it made it inaccessible to folks who were doing benchmarking testing, especially in the WordPress ecosystem, because it became incredibly expensive. So it wasn't the core technology, but it was the way in which the data is represented and visualized. So Kevin's gone above and beyond as someone who has constantly worked in the industry to be someone of integrity, to really benchmark hosting companies and their speed and performance. And so he does that through Review Signal, but he ran into an issue where the tools that he was using were no longer accessible to do that work. And so he took the time to build this as an open source project, and he got some support from, I believe, Pressable and other companies to help to make that a reality. And so I think it's worthwhile showing. And I think if anybody out there is doing any kind of benchmarking and they want some, you know, really, elite enterprise level tooling there, go to Orderly Ape and check it out.
Was the Review Signal, was that, so I've been doing the show for, I don't know, like 7 years or something like that. Was that the thing, did they produce like an annual report and they would put all of the hosting companies up against each other with the exact same metrics tested on more or less all the hosting companies that you could imagine? Was that what Review Signal was? And then they've sort of stifled it somehow, made it so that you can no longer get to those reports.
Yeah, so basically what happened was is that Kevin was running this company, WP Hosting Benchmarks, and he would do, or Review Signal was the company, and the WP Hosting Benchmarks was the annual report that he would put out. Now, because Kevin is doing this work, he would charge basically for the report. But when I mention that Kevin is someone of high integrity, I mean it, because the way in which he would run this program is that he would have a hosting company pay to be listed in that report, which is incredibly important if you want to make sure that you're standing up against your competitors and showing how well you're doing. But once you paid, you essentially didn't have any input, and the report would go live.
So that's really incredible. That's cool. Yeah.
So exactly. So he wouldn't allow you basically to interpret the results, try and change them or anything like that. And so, you know, he would put out these reports every year. And so then he ran into an issue in that the tooling that he was using went closed source or basically got acquired and was no longer something that he could use inside of the ballpark of what he was charging to make this happen. And so he dedicated so many of his own hours to making this happen, but he did take some money to help hire some additional developers and other people to bring this to light. And now he's basically made it available. So anyone who's doing any kind of benchmarking, you should do that. If you're thinking, if you run a hosting company, you should definitely be signing up for Review Signal so that you can challenge yourself to do as well as everybody else who shows up there. And if you're trying to choose a host, I would definitely say go to Review Signal and use those benchmarks as a way to determine whether or not the host that you're analyzing is going to stand up to what you have to throw at it.
I really like the model of that. The idea that you pay to play, like for a hosting company, this $100 is, you know, it's not even pocket change. It's less than pocket change. But then from that moment on, all bets are off. You're not paying for a good review. You're just paying for an honest review. And I think that's cool. I think that's a really interesting model. I'd seen it, but I didn't realize that that's how it was all put together. Just to surface, they are looking for sponsorship at the moment. So if you go to orderlyape.com, if you go there, you'll end up being redirected to WPHostingBenchmarks.com. /orderlyape. And over there, you'll see a request for sponsorships link just near the top of the page. And you can download, you can see a PDF about exactly what you can pay for and how you can assist that project. Yep.
I think it's really important for folks to recognize the fact that if you're, we're trying to help hosting companies define what are higher standards in terms of performance and being able to support, huge loads of traffic. And it also challenges hosts, and I've seen this firsthand, that when they get listed on this page, that they're like, okay, we need to really get our butts in gear and really start to optimize our sites. And so it's an opportunity for, or Kevin's contributing to this like raising of all ships who are involved in this, because everyone wants to kind of, it's a friendly competition among these hosting companies to continue to rank higher and higher within his benchmarks.
Yeah, we definitely raised it every single time it came out. And it was, there was just a deluge of information. In many respects, it was kind of difficult to get through because there was a lot, but it was summarized beautifully and you could really see how one host compared to the other. So that's great. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. So go and sponsor that Orderly Ape. Maybe just Google it. That might be the best way to go about it. I think that's it then. In which case, we haven't finished early at all. We finished exactly the right time. So it only remains for me to thank our co-host, Michelle Frechette, and she is, and also Steve Burge, who apparently, according to Cameron Jones, sounds exactly like Paul Lacey. The traitor, Paul Lacey, I might add. Yeah, bless you, Paul. You know I love you. I always call him a traitor, and he wears it ever so well. And also, am I going to point in the right direction? Jesse Friedman, thank you so much for joining us today. And what can I say? Thank you to all of you who joined us in the comments today. We now know what it is that gets you commenting. It's AI, basically. So this will be called This Week in AI from now on.
Steve, yeah, as soon as we stopped talking about AI, the comments went down to a normal level again.
WordPress, what the heck? Yes,
like, it was just a massive spike.
I know. What we need is like, we need 5 minutes of WordPress and then a quick 5 minute shot of AI and then back to WordPress and then back to AI. Just flip-flop just to keep it interesting. Thanks for the show. You, of course, Staveden, you're absolutely welcome. Hopefully I'll see you on Thursday and you could be winning. There it is, the iPad, if I remember to bring it. We'll see. Okay, what Jesse doesn't know is that he's now got to do the slightly humiliating wave. Maybe he does know. I don't know. Jesse, every time we end an episode, we all put our hands up so that I can create a screenshot. So if you're willing to humiliate yourself like that, that's perfect. Look, he's really good at it. That's ideal. Perfect. Thank you very much. We will be back this time next week. And if you three fine people want to stay on the line, we can have a quick natter. But thanks for joining us. We will see you next time on This Week in WordPress. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Yeah.